I'm going to invite all of you to open up your worship guides again, because inside you're going to find your message notes this morning. Today being Father's Day, we're going to look at our Heavenly Father's model for fatherhood. Our Heavenly Father's model for fatherhood. Obviously, I could go on for probably a couple of years in sharing with you the marks of a godly dad, but I can only talk about a couple of them this morning, and that's going to be difficult as well. Tommy, I've timed myself out at about 40 minutes, so however that works out for you in going forward. You know, I'm very, very happy to be a dad, and a very, very happy to be a granddad. And if you've heard the old cliche, right? If we knew how great the grandkids would be, we would have had them first. But it's wonderful to be, a dad, a granddad, an uncle, and a great uncle. I don't mean that I'm a great uncle, but, you know, I have nieces who have had their own kids and so forth. So it's a special day to speak to you men. Now, the message obviously is nothing but scripture, the breath of God to us, the words of God to us. So it's really to any and all who are Christians. And if you're here and you're not a Christian, then I hope that you'll also be blessed by the things that our Heavenly Father would say to us. And I believe you'll find some excellent principles here, even for yourself. And my prayer is that one day you yourself will come to know the Lord personally. He's terrific. But having said that, I'm going to be talking, guys, to us, those of us specifically that are dads and granddads, stepdads, and uncles. Should you find during this message that you're being supported from Scripture and you feel very good about this, I want you to know our Lord is just wanting to be an encourager to you. Okay? Now, as a dad or a stepdad or a granddad or an uncle, you find yourself coming up a little short. Maybe a whole lot short. That's a good thing. And it's good from the standpoint, as you've heard me speak about this before, and that is to know what our weaknesses are. That helps us to be able to go forward and to work on those and to see that they become strong points in our lives. But we do that with the aid, the help of the God, the Holy Spirit, because the things that you and I are being asked to do as dads, stepdads, granddads, and uncles can't be lived out except with the help of the Holy Spirit, because we've been called to a supernatural life. And to try to do it on our own, we will fail. In the end, we will fail. So we need to cultivate that relationship with God the Father through the Holy Spirit who's come to live and reside within all of us who have, by God's grace, through faith, received Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. So having said that, I saw this fun story and I thought I would share it with you this morning. It says, one day a little boy, he's sitting and watching his dad working on the car. He suddenly notices that his dad had a few tufts of white hair growing out of his brown hair. And so he said, Dad, why is it that you have some white hair among the brown hair? And he said, Son, it's because when you have done something wrong, it really hurts me. And I become very disappointed, and that causes one hair to grow white. And so the little guy thought a minute about that. He was hurting. But after he thought about it, he said, Well, then, Dad, if that's true, then how come Granddad has nothing but white hair? As I say, I enjoy Father's Day very much. It's a day where we get to celebrate those men who have had the privilege to become fathers, grandfathers, and the like. Because we can look to them in celebration of our heroes. They become our heroes, and and examples. For some of you, your dad is the grill master par excellence. He's been our coaches. He's been our den fathers. And so much more. But maybe we have a different experience growing up. And that is, dad was not fair, was not just. In fact, dad was rarely there, or wasn't there at all while you were growing up. But either way, Father's Day is also a day we get to thank and to celebrate our ultimate Father, who is in heaven. So our Heavenly Father's model for fatherhood would begin this way. I would ask all of us, but particularly you who are dads, granddads, stepdads, uncles, this question. Are you pursuing never-ending improvement in being a dad, a stepdad, a granddad, an uncle? Are you pursuing a never-ending improvement in that area? So here's fact one in your fill-in on your notes. A godly father, and these words are chosen carefully. A godly father who follows our Lord Jesus Christ will have a good reputation. A good reputation. For it is his desire to seek the supremacy of God in all things. I'm just talking about godly men. Men that have taken up the cross to follow Christ. Men who've committed themselves to be disciples of our Lord Jesus. The quality of a good reputation is listed in two letters. The first letter was written by the Apostle Paul to his son in the faith, Timothy. And then he also wrote a letter to his other son in the faith, Titus. And he tells us here in 1 Timothy 3:2. And gentlemen, I just want you to read this passage of scripture aloud and do it with some strength.
We know you're men.
All right, guys, let's read 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2 aloud together. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach. Now, I've circled above reproach. Now, would you, well, I've underlined it. You circle it. Above reproach. The episkopos, the overseer. We know of a denomination that calls themselves the Episcopal Church. They have bishops, episkopos. Episkopos is nothing more, unfortunately, it has been misused. Therefore, it is nothing more than this, another name for an overseer, an elder, a pastor. In Titus chapter 1, the beginning of verse 7, gentlemen, would you read this aloud with me as well? For an overseer, as God's steward, must be above reproach. Would you circle above reproach? As God's manager, you're to be overseeing the things that he has placed under you. As a father, if you're still in the home, there hasn't been a divorce to take place. You are the head of the house, not your wife. And if she needs to be reminded to give up and stop the usurping of your position, then you need to graciously and lovingly tell her so. Feminism is not what the Bible teaches. The role of a husband, the role of a dad in the home, is to be a manager. He is to manage his household well. As you look at your notes, you will see this nepilimtos. Nepilimtos. This word is the word that we see here for above reproach. One who has nothing which an adversary could seize upon with which to base a charge. We see this term being used most often in extra biblical Greek literature as a legal term. No one should be able to bring a charge against a pastor, an elder, civilly or criminally, and be found guilty. He is to be above reproach. This is the first of several qualities that we see regarding an overseer, an elder, a pastor. But as we look at this, I want us to consider this. To be above reproach and any of the other things, with the exception of being the husband of one wife in that list, to be an elder in the church. Are these not all qualities we see in the New Testament and other places in the Old that dictate that this is the way a Christian is to present him or herself? Do you know of any Christians where God would say, oh, he doesn't have to be, she doesn't have to be above reproach? Can you think of an instance? Of course not. And that's why I'm bringing this into our teaching this morning. A Christian is to be pursuing this quality in his or her life. But I'm speaking primarily to dads, granddads, stepdads, and uncles this morning. You should look at your notes under Just a Thought. Our grandchildren, or our children and grandchildren, need models to follow. And a Christian father wants, by his very nature, because our nature as men of God, men who have received God the Holy Spirit into our lives, we are new creations. And as new creations, we have a new nature. And that new nature tells us this: by our very nature, we want to bring honor and credit to our heavenly dad. We wish to pursue that. Now, if you're saying, I've made a profession of faith in Christ and that is not my end goal, then I would say to you, we need to talk. We need to sit down and have a conversation. Because that is not the nature. That's not part of the new nature of someone who is genuinely in Christ Jesus. Children, by their very nature, will mimic their parents. Children, by their nature, they will mimic their peers. I can remember when my son, Ronnie, was 3-4 years old. I was out mowing the front lawn. And right behind me, just a couple feet behind me, is this little boy with his toy lawnmower mimicking me. Now, he only did it for 3 or 4 rows, but he lost interest after that. But nonetheless, he was mimicking me. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Let's read this aloud together, ladies and gentlemen, young people. Let's all read this together aloud. I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. Now you read it, you heard it. Now let's listen to what it's really saying to us. Paul, bear in mind, he's in prison. This is not some place where he's probably real excited to be. But knowing Paul and what we read about him, I really think he was excited to be there. He had a captive audience. Every few hours, a new Roman guard was going to be chained to him, possibly two. And I know exactly what he was telling them. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, the very reason he's in jail. But nonetheless, we look here, and he's in prison, and he's urging the church. He's urging you. And Dad, he's speaking to us who are fathers and stepdads and granddads and uncles. He's saying, walk in a manner worthy of the calling. Walk in a manner and a conduct that is well balanced, as we study the Greek grammar here. Axios, worthy of the calling. And the calling is to our salvation. We're to be working out our salvation, as he wrote the Philippian church family, with fear and trembling. Because it is God who is at work in us, both the will for his will, both the will and to work for his good pleasure. Our sanctification, We are to walk. We are to live. This word walk means live, Dad. Are we living in a manner worthy of the salvation that had cost the Lord Jesus Christ his very life? Are we worthy to be walking in this life today because of him? Some of us have come back from a war. Are we worthy to be here based on the fact that buddies gave their life and we didn't have to die, but they did? Are we walking in a manner that is worthy of their deaths? I'm just trying to bring it home to some of us who have been first responders in the military and etc. The other thing, more importantly, is that Jesus, what he did for us, the Son of our Heavenly Father, what he accomplished for us. Walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. God has called us to this, men. You have a personal calling from God the Father through the Holy Spirit to you to walk in this way. The people see that you have the Holy Spirit in you, the qualities that the Holy Spirit brings that we've come to know as the fruit of the Spirit. Some of these we see here. With complete, he's saying, all humility. Gentlemen, do we walk in humility or are we arrogant men? Are we humble men before our children? Do our sons see us conducting ourselves humbly, lowly, seeing other people as higher than ourselves? What about that, Dad? Do our kids see us as humble men? In all humility and gentleness. Gentleness, praetas, praetas. It's having our emotions under control, but walking gently with patience, with long suffering. You know, you can exact vengeance on somebody, you're strong enough to do that. But with this patience that's being indicated here in the text, it's talking about. You can exact vengeance on your own, but you won't. You're patient. You're patient. And then bearing with one another. Things are tough, but we bear with one another in the sacrificial, generous love that we share with others, and especially as I think about as a dad with our kids. So is this the way we walk? Are we living or behaving in a customary manner, focusing on doing what our Heavenly Father has asked us to do as men of God, husbands, fathers? In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, let's read this together, church. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. He says, therefore, be imitators of God. As our children mimic us, we should be imitating our Heavenly Father. If he were out in heaven and mowing a lawn, we should be like my little boy was, who's now 38. Not lose our way and stop mimicking our Father, but to be mimicking our Heavenly Father. Be imitators of God as beloved, as affectionately loved children. Dad, your Heavenly Father affectionately loves you. Do your children know that you affectionately love them? Do you even tell them? In a quiet moment, that you love them. I cannot remember a single time in all of my dad's life when he said to me, Ron, I love you. In 61 years of his life, I never heard him say he loved me. I know he loved me, but he never said it. When was the last time, Dad, Granddad, Stepdad, Uncle, did you tell your children individually, not collectively, individually, that you love them? Doesn't matter how old they are. They're 6 months old or 71 years old. Be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love. Live in this love, this warm, generous, sacrificial love as HaMashiach, as Christos, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice. In 3 John chapter 1, 11, he says, "Beloved, I affectionately love you." And then in the present imperative, he says, "Do not imitate evil." Do not mimic evil. Do not live out evil. This is in the continuous sense. Don't you imitate evil continually. Now, Dad, I'm going to get a little personal with you. Maybe, Granddad, you need to listen in too. Or as a stepfather, maybe you need to be listening as well. I'm sure you should be. But let's say that you are someone that likes to drink alcohol. Of course, you never drink to excess. Ha ha. Anyone who begins to have a couple of beers, a couple of highballs, will eventually get to the point to where he is high. At least a little bit. And we've been told not to be drunk with wine or anything else for that matter, because that's debauchery. But to be filled with the Spirit, to walk, to live in the Spirit. Now, there are those in the Church of America, and I believe we probably, being the size that we are, we have some in our own church family. But they imbibe in what we call recreational drugs. They're illicit. Just because we put a term recreational on doesn't change the fact that they're illegal. And isn't it wonderful that our children look to us and they see us toking up on, why do we put leaves in our mouth and set them on fire to begin with anyway? Isn't that stupid? But at any rate, we toke up and our kids see it. They're going to mimic you, Dad. And when they become teens and they remember you smoking your marijuana joint, and you come down on them for smoking their marijuana joint or snorting their row of cocaine, you have nothing to really say to them. Well, you can say I was a fool. You can go back to them even now and tell them that's all done and I'm sorry you saw it. Please forgive me. But they're going to mimic you. And how can you chastise them for the very thing that you were teaching them? And then there's some who are involved in pornography. I suspect there's one or two that are probably thinking, how does he know that? Is he, you know, has he got a way into my computer? No, it's because I know what men have to deal with. And gals, we see the statistics now. The gals are getting involved in pornography. At a high rate. Girls, you got to help me understand this. You are made of such a higher class, such a fine china. Why have you become down low to smoke stogies with us, to get drunk with us, and to use the profanity that we used. And it used to be my on-base language as opposed to what the vernacular is today among males and females. The foulest of English. Why would we do that? But coming back to the guys, if you think that you're not going to get caught looking at your pornography, think again. If the men that I work with could tell you, and they won't because they're ashamed. They've been caught. Their wives found out. And it broke their wives' hearts. Broke their hearts. Marriage was dissolved over it. It is a horrible thing. It is sin to begin with, and then it becomes like a disease. And it needs treatment. Or, Ron, I can't quit drinking. I just like it so much. I can't quit smoking dope or snorting cocaine or whatever it is. I can't get rid of the pornography. Yes, you can. If you're really in Christ, then you can do all things through Him, or Christ is lying. And He's not lying. Amen. You can do all things. Some things are not possible with human beings, but all things are possible with Him. And He loves you so much. And He will help you. But you need to want to seek it. And I work with men now that are in each of these areas. And they're getting help. And presently, every one of them are doing very well in Christ. And so can you, should you be one of these individuals that finds yourself in the present imperative, violating this command and involving yourself continuously in evil. But he says here in the present imperative, but imitate good, that which is morally right and responsible, that you would see Christ doing. Whoever does good is from God. Whoever is following the morally responsible road is from God, it says here. Whoever does evil has not seen God. This person is imitating evil because they are still blind to God's perspective. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, the beginning of the verse. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ. This is living your life in a consistent way that we see revealed in the Word of God. We're living a life that is pursuing humility, a life that is pursuing the things of the Spirit, love, the sacrificial love, peace and kindness, and being faithful to our children and to our wives and to our Heavenly Father. Let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel. May you be living a life that is filled with integrity in all facets of your life, that you're genuinely seeking the supremacy of our Lord Jesus Christ in every aspect of your life, Dad. Colossians chapter 1, verse 10. Again, he says, walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him. If we're walking in a manner worthy of, living in a manner worthy of the Lord, then we're going to find ourselves being a pleasure to our Heavenly Father. So we need to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, pleasing Him, bearing fruit. And you will bear fruit. You're not going to be perfect in this life, and neither am I. I mean, I'm going to take a sidestep here and go over here in a little rabbit trail for a moment. I have to tell you, gentlemen, I had a very hard time not deciding I'm not going to teach that passage, I'm not going to preach that this on Sunday morning, Because you know why? Because I have failed in that particular area, or I'm weak in that particular area. The man who stands before you is a man like the rest of you men, if you're in Christ. And I need his help every single day and every moment throughout every single day, if I am going to be walking in the Spirit and having victory over the same temptations some of you may have. But walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, pleasing him, bearing fruit, and we will bear the fruit if we're genuinely followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we're followers of anyone else, well, then it's all up for grabs. But if we're following after the Lord Jesus Christ, then the Spirit of God is here. And if he's here, then we will be loving as he wants us to love. And we will be filled with joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. And we will be humble and we will be meek and we will be bearing up with other people and we will be being forgiven by other people as we are forgiving other people. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7, he says, remember your leaders. Remember Pastor Eugene. Remember Chris Wright. Remember Vijay Sarabi. He's saying, remember Gary. Remember Nestor. Remember all of these men that you've come to know in our church family. And I haven't mentioned them all. But remember these men. Remember your leaders, those who spoke the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Imitate their faith. Don't imitate their weaknesses. Don't imitate my weaknesses, but imitate our faith. So dad, granddad, uncle, stepdad, we need to live lives that are above reproach, before our Heavenly Father, before our children, before our grandchildren, before our nieces and our nephews. We need to live above reproach. Look at your notes. Consider the qualities of being above reproach as it was discussed when I was with a small group of men. You may find it interesting as to the words that they use in describing a Christian man with a good reputation. One said, he shines with Christ's attributes. He shines with Christ's attributes. You can see the love of Christ in this guy. You can see his humility, and on and on. He is honest. I can trust him with my life and my possessions. He is a sensitive person. He is not involved with drugs or alcohol. He works harder than expected by his boss. That's your fill-in. He works harder than expected by his boss. Speaking of a boss, he is gracious with his employees. He is not self-promoting or selfish. He is fair. He is sacrificial. He is encouraging. He can be depended on. He comes alongside and helps out when he could be doing something he enjoys instead. He respects authority. And this is my addition. He blesses my life. Now, how would you answer these questions, gentlemen? Ladies, if you want to come in on this, you can come in on it as well. But gentlemen, how would you answer these questions? One, do I get positive comments? That's your fill-in. From the people closest to me that would indicate that I have a good reputation. For example, what would my wife say? What would my children say? What would my friends say? Would they say that you have a good reputation? Yes or no, be honest. Yes or no, be honest. Second question, do people come to me and share their lives with me? Do people trust me with confidential information? Yes or no? Do my relationships with people grow deeper and more significant the longer they know me and the closer they get to me? Yes or no? Do people recommend me for significant or difficult tasks without fear of my letting them down? Yes or no? If you feel you can grow in these areas and would appreciate some help, why don't you just make an appointment? Come see me. I've got a whole list of men that I can encourage you to go and talk to see if one of them will become your mentor, your discipler, and walk with you till that time that you feel that you're ready to be a mentor yourself. Our Heavenly Father's model for fatherhood is that a godly man will be above reproach. Get it? Good. The second point of the message is we need to deeply love our children, whatever their ages may be. Whatever their ages may be. My children range from 38 to 42. My grandchildren from 5 months to 17. Love them whatever their ages may be. Fact two, a godly father who follows our Lord Jesus Christ will have a deep, abiding, demonstrable agape love. For it is his desire to imitate the Lord. Once again, looking at Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2, this pops in my mind throughout the week. Ephesians 5, 1, therefore be imitators, be mimetes, followers. And it's a present imperative. It is a command to continually be an imitator of God, our Father. Be an imitator of God as beloved children and walk in love. Again, present imperative. Live a life that is filled with this warm, generous, sacrificial love that is being demonstrated, shown to the people around you. But more specifically, we're thinking of our children right now, fathers. And I would include your wife as well. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. How big a sacrifice are you willing to make for your children's dad? Grandfather, well, what is that threshold? How far will you go and no further for your grandchildren? Because Christ went all the way to death. And we are to love as Christ loved us. Gave himself up. And as far as our Heavenly Father was concerned, it was a fragrant offering and sacrifice. In John chapter 13, verse 35, by this all people will know that you are my disciples. Jesus is being quoted here. Jesus, how will all people know I am your disciple? How will all people, Dad, know that I am a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ? I am a Christian, Dad. How will they know I'm a Christian, Dad? He says here, if you have love for one another. Do your kids really know the depth of your love for them? Do your children see you go to your wife, Dad, and give her a hug? I mean, my kids to this age, as old as they are, ooh, ooh. But you know what? In that ooh, ooh, they're saying, my dad loves my mom. And as they're growing up, that gives them security. If you have love for one another, they'll know that you are truly a father who is following Christ. In 1 Peter 4:8, he says, above all, keep loving one another earnestly. This word earnestly, ektenes. It doesn't give us in the English of what is being said here. He's saying above all, eagerly, continuously, intensely, love one another. Is this what's going on at home, or have we become very mellow, way down? Your wife would have to go back to your honeymoon. Yeah, that was the last time I think I heard him say, he loves me. Really, Dad, when was the last time you took your kid, you know, just put your arm around their shoulder, or if it's your daughter, took her by the hand, and you went for a walk, and you just said, I just need these few moments alone with you because I wanted to tell you, honey, how much I love you. I know I've let you down, and I ask you in those instances, because I can't think of all of them, maybe you want to bring them up, but whatever, would you forgive me for those things? Because in my heart, my intentions were noble towards you. I love you so very much. Look carefully here. Here's your fill-in. Our Heavenly Father is agape love personified. He never provokes us. He encourages us to grow in our understanding. He encourages us to be growing in this love and obedience to Him by the examples of our fathers. Our kids will look to us, and they will treat their future wives as we have taught them by the way we've been teaching their mothers. In Ephesians 6:4, it's a present imperative, gentlemen. It's not me commanding you. I'm just a sinner saved by grace, like so many of you. He is giving us a command, and he says in the present imperative, fathers, not mom. Of course, this is good for anybody, but nonetheless, he's really narrowing it down. Dad, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up. Bring them up. And I just got to stop for a second. And Father, I come before you yet again because I am so very sorry for having provoked my children over the years of their growing up to anger. I am so very sorry. And again, I ask you to please forgive me. And Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you that it was covered by your sacrifice on the cross. We're to raise up our children. We're to raise them up in the discipline, in the paideia, in the training, the rules, the correction, the conduct, the behavior that we see in Scripture. We are to raise them up in the instruction, in the nautheia, the warnings, the admonitions, the exhortations we receive from Scripture that some of us have been receiving even this morning, and even as I now receive once again with this, having provoked one or all three of my kids at times to anger. Genesis 18:19, for I have chosen him, speaking of Abraham, I've chosen him that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice so that the Lord may bring to Abraham what is promised to him. Gentlemen, he is telling us that we need to be teaching our children about the righteousness of God and those things that are pleasing to him and the way he would have us to be treating our own children and the people that we come in contact with. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 7, he says, hear, O Israel, Yahweh, the self-existent one, the I am that I am, our Elohim, the powerful, all-creator, all-knowing God, the Jehovah is one. You shall love Ahab, would you say that word with me, Ahab? Ahab, again, Ahab, that you would love the Lord, Jehovah, your Elohim, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all of your might, your whole being, Dad. Love the Lord your God with the wholeness of your being, him. Love him in this way. And these words that I command you, Dad, today shall be on your heart. You know these things. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk to them when you sit in your house. Instead of talking about the game that's going to take place tonight, or at least before the game, talk about our Heavenly Father. Talk about what's going on in your life, Dad, before the Warriors win. Talk about him while you're sitting in the house and when you walk by the way. When you go on vacation and you're out for a hiking, you're out walking, you say, look, kids, look at these pine trees. They're all pointing straight up. Look how blue that sky is. They're all pointing up to God. And look at these granite mountains that surround the lake here. Don't they remind you of the strength of God? When you lie down, when it's time to go to bed, we had what we called songs and prayer time when the kids were little. We would kneel at one of the kids' beds. And while I'm kneeling, then one of the kids, every night, they would switch off. They would come, one would come, and he'd stand on my calves, or she would stand on my calves and roll forward and put their arms around my neck. And then we would sing one special song that each of the kids like, and then we would pray together. And when you rise up, give a blessing to your kids if you happen to be a dad who gets to be home when your kids are getting up and getting ready. Give them a blessing. Grab the kid before he goes down the hall, gets out the door, trying to grab the keys that you need to go to work. Bless him. May the Lord bless you and make his face to shine upon you. May our Lord keep you safe today. May you know not only does our Lord Jesus Christ love you, son, daughter, but I love you too. 1 Corinthians 13, 4-8. There's so much more to be said, family, but my time has really been exhausted. I'd like to just go to the end of your notes there and call for the question. I love the love passage, 1 Corinthians 13, as I did that whole study a few years back. But here's some questions for you in the second point, gentlemen. How would you answer these questions? Do people close to you say that you are patient, you are kind, you are humble, it's unselfish, encouraging, and faithful? Yes or no? And be honest with yourself. Do people say they feel safe with you because you are not rude or hold a grudge and that you really are after seeking the truth? Do you sacrificially love others? Yes or no? See, this is 1 Corinthians 13. This is 1 Corinthians being lived out. This is exactly what's important in your heart if you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5:5, the love of God has been poured into your hearts. There's no end of it. The only thing that caps his love from splashing over and blessing your children, blessing your wife, blessing other people is that you put a cap on it. You decide, I will not walk in the Spirit, because the first fruit of that Spirit, if you're connected to him, is love, agape love. You can't help but love. If you're walking in the Spirit, if you've been born again, if you're a Christian father. Our Heavenly Father's model of fatherhood is that to be godly men, we are to be above reproach, and that we are to demonstrate a deep, abiding, demonstrable agape love. Get it? Very good. That being true, very good. Let's pray. Father, we come before you humbled by the words that we find in your breath to us today. Not only do we live by every breath that you give to us, without your giving us our next breath, we would not live, but you've told us we are not to live by bread alone, but we are to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And Father, for some of us, you've been very, very encouraging. And for others of us, we've received an exhortation today. But for those of us that you know that we are genuinely your sons and who have had the privilege of becoming a father or the privilege of becoming a grandfather or have had the privilege of marrying into a family and being a stepfather or an uncle, we have a great responsibility, and you've made that clear this morning. So it's my prayer for myself and for my brothers, Father, that you would stir our hearts up and not allow us to move away from this path that you have set before us. It's very clear. And my brothers and I, if we would go back to these notes that you have given us, that we would reread these passages of Scripture and ask your Holy Spirit to help us to put them into action in our lives. We would be successful dads, as I know all of us would like to be. Some of us get a second chance at being dads by being granddads. Some of us get an opportunity because we have become a stepdad. So, Father, here we are, and you know our imperfections, and we lay them before you, and we confess anything that has been sin in our life, and we ask you to please forgive us. We're so sorry, and it is our desire to move in that right direction with the help of your gracious Holy Spirit. Make us the kind of men our children will mimic and that they will be pleasing and honoring to you. May this be our legacy, Father, that we have lived with the help of the Holy Spirit in such a way that our children not only heard the gospel from us, but they saw it being lived out before them. Imperfectly, albeit, but nonetheless, lived out before them. So, Father, we thank you so much for your gracious love for us. You are above reproach in every way, and you have this tremendous love that you have worked out before us through multiple examples, even men and women in this church family, and we're grateful for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.